Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you, that cold Canadian front after that gorgeous rain yesterday. Put your thinking caps on. Hopefully there's enough oxygen in the air today for you. Got a complicated topic for you today. A fascinating topic. A topic, if you can take it into yourself, will explain much to you. Today's show is about birth trauma, understanding why your depression and anxiety won't go away. Now, I'm not talking about that anxiety and depression that you can put your finger on. I'm not talking about, well, things aren't going well, and you kind of understand why you used to be happier and now you're not. Talking about a special type of anxiety, a special kind of depression, the kind that, well, started long, long time ago. Maybe you've always been depressed. Maybe you've always been anxious. Maybe reaching back as far as you can into your memory banks, there was always some underlying tension that you just couldn't put your fingers on. Your mom and your dad were good people. You were happy in your family. You have no real serious tragedies. You can't really understand why you have this tendency to stay in a depressed state or an anxiety-ridden state. Two sides of the same coin. Where you have to look, if that's you, and even if it's not you, there's reasons to look there, is what happened not in your early childhood. That's not where you look. Where you have to look is to gestation, those 9 months before you came out. Now, this is not what people normally think in terms of. If you've got anxiety, if you're medicating, as so many people are medicating today, if you've got anxiety, if you've got depression, before you medicate, well, lots of people try the local shrink. You go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a counselor, a priest, a reverend, somebody to talk to get a understanding and a perspective, what to do about it and why it's there. Now, traditionally, there was no tradition of this. Traditionally, this was just considered evil spirits. In many parts of the world today, still, you don't go to your local shrink. You don't drop a tab of Prozac. People understand and understood it at one time as invasions from exogenous evil influences. The devil made me do it, so to speak. Sigmund Freud changed that. Let's get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. If you're new to the show, I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc, two T's, .com, .cc. All right. Picture number one. Let's take a look at Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud. Picture one. Go on to Google Images sometime and take a look at the quotes. Brilliant, brilliant man. Freud introduced, and you'll see this in picture three, Freud introduced different stages of development. I'm just going to run through early psychoanalysis and then tie that into modern perceptions of anxiety and depression and as it relates to birth trauma. But where you have to look traditionally is into those first few years of life after you pop out. Oral stage, anal stage, Oedipal stage, post-Oedipal stage. Freud introduced this in the late 1800s, the early 1900s, shook the world beginning in Europe, translating across the ocean to America. Very novel stuff, far, far ahead of his time. It wasn't really until the 50s and 60s in the United States that what he had said for 50 years really came to roost. Freud was followed by a protege of his, the infamous Wilhelm Reich. You go to picture number 5. There's Wilhelm Reich in his teens. Reich was given a scholarship to medical school in Vienna after he served in World War I. There's picture number 6 there. Picture 6. Reich had just come home from World War I, and he was and decided to be a medical doctor on scholarship to University of Vienna. Reich was Freud's golden boy. Reich was the guy that, well, Freud could have put the whole future of analysis on. But Reich started to see things differently. Reich started to feel that when you walked in and got analyzed because you had a neurotic disposition, because you had bad depression, because the glass was always empty and the sky was always gray, when Reich sat down and looked at Freudian's perspective, get on the couch and analyze the dream, Reich started to feel fidgety about it. He began to feel like this was something that wasn't going to take him anywhere. And Reich took the great jump, which to that day, the 1920s and 30s, I mean, so far, far ahead of his time. He started touching people. Now, it was enough for Christian Europe and America to hear that little boys sort of had crushes on their mothers, thus the Oedipal stage, and little girls on their fathers. It was enough for Freud to purport that that was the reality of childhood. Reich takes an even bigger leap when he begins to touch patients on his analytic couch. He starts doing body work. He starts doing literally massage therapy and forms of it, nonverbal techniques, breath work, so on and so forth. And people start reacting in very powerful ways. And we're going to get into this later. I want to just hold that. Many of you that listen regularly are familiar. I've mentioned Reich so many times. Reich, who began when analysis began, who took analysis to touch therapy, and then took both analysis, touch therapy, and the conclusions he drew into treating cancer, autoimmune disease, and understanding the body as an electromagnetic field that was either expanding creatively over the decades or shrinking continually. I don't think we've got this one today. And Reich is one of my champions, to be followed by another champion, and I'll introduce him in a moment. So we start with picture number 1. Take a look. What progress were you making? In the Middle Ages, they would have burned me. Now they are content with burning my books. Freud took a lot of garbage. He took a lot of abuse to come out and say that when you were 3 or 4 years old, you kind of had a crush on your mom and vice versa. And if you progressed correctly, all that would get untangled and worked out nicely. That was too much to hear. But Freud, and if you get on Google Images and look at his quotes, I mean, they're just brilliant. They're a whole book just on a page. Unexpressed emotions will never die. They are buried alive and will come forth in uglier ways. This has much relationship to people that have had birth trauma and will define birth trauma. Reich, picture number 4, who I just mentioned, ultimately became a biologist. You couldn't treat the mind without treating the body, and you couldn't treat the body without treating the mind. And Reich was on top of it. That brought him to the cell, the human cell in disease, and thus biology. And there's the work by James Strick, noting that essentially Reich was a biologist. Now, here's another hero, picture number 7. This is where the show really begins. This is Bernard Bale. Bernard Bale is, I think he's 94 years old now. It's a great shot of him. I guess he's in his 80s or 70s there. Bernard Bale is still in practice today. I believe it's a closed practice. It's by reference only. But look at picture number 9. That's Bernard Bale in World War II. He was a lieutenant. He fought in World War II. You'd have to be in your 90s today to have fought in World War II and still be alive. And that's Dr. Bale, who I think later became a medical doctor. There's picture number 8. There's Dr. Bale, Dr. Bernard Bale. Now, this isn't a political statement, but he's being awarded something by Dick Cheney. I can't speak for Dr. Bell, but I'm almost certain their political views are very different. But maybe not. I don't know. But he's being awarded something, some merit of honor related to medicine, I believe. Most people don't know the name Bernard Bell. You should. He wrote a book, picture number 11, called The Mother's Signature. Get that book. If anything I say today hits a chord inside you, get that book and read that book and then read it again and really sit on it. I see lots of people like this. If you come to see me and I look at your face, I don't care what you're dealing with, I'm going to go right to birth trauma. I'm going to find out how you were born, why you were born, what psychological state your mother and father was in when you were born, when you were gestating. But that's me. I'm standing on the shoulders of all these guys. Bernard Bale is one of them. He was one of the first, if not the first, in the United States, in the Western world, to really say to Freud, look, oral, anal, Oedipal, post-Oedipal stage, great stuff. It starts earlier than that. It starts in gestation. This is why Bale is a modern-day hero. Because you don't think of that. You don't think of your brain tumor as something that started in gestation. You don't think of your autoimmune disease as something starting in gestation. Is this relevant? My God, it is so relevant. Doctors seeing patients, clients, anyone in the health field is always dealing with this, whether they know it or not. And everyone out there, John Q. Public, is dealing with what happened in those first 9 months. This is not an overstatement. It's an understatement. But analytic theory, classic analytic theory, that is what the psychologists practice today, what the psychiatrists practice today. If you can find a psychiatrist doing anything but medicating, what he or she are practicing rarely has anything to do with gestation. I commit and completely venerate to Dr. Bale's work as a veteran, as a brilliant psychiatrist. Get this book. Now look at picture 12. There you are, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months. Well, they put 4 months there. Let's talk about one day. Let's talk about when you're a day old. The concept is that you, in your depression, in your irrational depression, you're depressed, but you don't know why. You have anxiety, but you don't know why. You have disease, and you can't understand it. All of it. But we'll stick to anxiety and depression. Extreme neurosis, obsessive compulsive disorders, attention deficit disorders, bipolar disorders, schizophrenia. You name it, how you come out starts in gestation. This is a place you have to look. This is a place we don't look. Do you, sitting there at the breakfast table, know what happened during your gestation? Did they use forceps? Were you breached? Did they have to turn you? Did you have a nuchal birth? Was the cord wrapped around your neck? How long was the labor? Did your mother not dilate, or did your head get stuck? You got to know those things. You have to start thinking in these terms, and then we got to know what to do about it. That trauma imprints you indelibly. That is a very deep trauma because, and this is just common sense, right? You're an embryo. You are as deeply impressionable as you will ever be in your life. So a little tension is a lot of tension. When that birth cord is wrapped around your neck and you're being strangled, when you're coming down the pipe and your head gets caught on the pubic bone, when you're in the wrong position, when they have to do an emergency cesarean. There's hundreds of different ways you can have trouble in gestation. I just named the obvious ones. Here's the ones that aren't so obvious. Your mother didn't expect you when she wasn't ready. Your mom really wasn't in love with your father. Your parents had already split. Your mom had doubts about whether or not she wanted to birth you. Your mom had lost a child earlier, a year earlier. Couples do that all the time. It's understandable. There's a miscarriage, which is a hard thing for a couple to experience, and they follow it. Well, let's get pregnant again, and let's get on with it. Let's replace it. But the trauma is still in the mom. Now, this is where Bale comes in. Get the book, Mother's Signature. This is where Dr. Bale comes in. He's saying, we don't think that that embryo is in there. Look, it's just an embryo. That embryo, Bale is saying, is as impressionable. It has a consciousness like no other time in its life. It is living in the womb and trying to survive the anxiety, neurosis, and trauma of the mother. Now, that's a spin on birth. But that is the reality of birth. At my level as a doctor, when I see you, I think that way. You give me symptoms, I think in terms of how you were gestating. I have to do that to understand if you're going to get to the other side and what's involved in getting there. Okay, let's take a look at picture number 13. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. And that's with two T's, straight talk, one word. 251 shows. That's a volume and a volume and a volume for you. Educate yourself to these shows. I assure you, they will land on you differently. Look at picture number 13. There. Carnegie stages of human development from 1 day to 2 days to 3 days to 7 days, the 13, 14, 15, 18 days, 19, 20, 21. Look at that. And you're in there and you're receiving every thought, every vibration. Are they playing Mozart for you? Are your parents totally in love? Does your mom, did she feel completely safe? Could she just lie on a couch all day and listen to music and have your dad come home and sing and read poetry and celebrate life and your birth? And then did you pop out nice and smooth, nice and easy, 20 minutes? Boom, and there you are. And we throw you up in the air as we clean you off and we give praise to God. Is that how it was? When people get sick, when people have levels of anxiety and depression that they've always had. No, I didn't have any anxiety or depression. It started to me when I was 21 or 22 or 30. This really doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does apply to you. And you got to get this. It's simple, but it's deep. It doesn't hit you until you're 20 or 30 or 40. It doesn't hit you until later, because right from the birth trauma, your glandular system compensates you. Right from the birth trauma, your adrenaline, your cortisol, and the rest of your glandular system compensate you to protect you so you don't feel it. You can numb it out. And then when you're 20 or 30 or 40, you cannot numb it out anymore. You can't defend against it because you're exhausted. So this is a two-phase process that you always see. Birth trauma and some level of anxiety and depression followed by some sort of a psychotic break. We don't call it a psychotic break. We just call it, I can't live without Prozac. I can't live without Klonopin. I have to medicate. I can't take it anymore. Oh, yes, I understand. You've been through a divorce and things are tough and your job didn't work out and you're not happy about this and that and you have a relative that just passed on. And that's the way we understand it. Where we need to go is into an understanding of how we just stated. More or less, one has to do that. And you get little signs that you got to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, right, if you have ever done the classic analytic model, over the months or years, they're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper where nobody goes, and this was Bell's point, is into gestation. And if you train this way, if your eye is trained, you can see birth trauma in people. You can see when the trauma during gestation is rate limiting. So I'm introducing another concept now. You got to get this concept. This is a show of concepts. This is a show where the light bulb goes on and you understand a big chunk of you. You got to understand this concept. And the concept is birth trauma in some people rate limits their growth. They can't get around it. It has defined them for many, many years. And who's who? Is that you? Well, you're on a journey. What was your gestation like? What was the condition of your mom? Oh, she was fine, but she lived near a chimney. She smoked 3 packs a day. She was an ex-drug addict, an alcoholic. She had nervous. She survived the Holocaust. She survived war. She had had sexual trauma. She had abusive parents. She didn't like your dad. Anything you can find factors in. That's the point. To the extent where it becomes you, it defines you. It's not in socialization. It's not in year one, year two, year three, year four. It can often and is often entirely or much more about those first 9 months. Let's keep going. What happens? Look at picture 14. There's a kid that got stuck. That happens. That kid's going to have its head shaped. That used to happen a lot more. You ever meet people like that? You know, we shouldn't joke, but we call them cone heads, this kind of thing. We've got different technical names for that. Go down to the baby helmet. There's one that you may not know about. Picture 35. Look at that. That's a baby helmet to shape the kid's head. A midwife will shape a baby's head. Look at picture 37. 37. That was actually done via a chiropractic clinic. Look at that. Look at the shift in that infant. As you know, the skull of the infant is soft. The sutures are soft. Bregma, lambda, soft sutures. Kids' heads are malleable. Midwives will take kids and shape the head right at birth. Important steps. Let's go back up. Birth trauma. Let's go back up. Picture 15. Infant's head caught in the birth canal during a breech delivery. Happens all the time. Tough labor then. 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours. Look at picture 16. 5 steps not to get stuck in the birth canal. You don't think of that, right? I'll guarantee you most people listening to this show today in the audience don't know the details of their birth. And mom's there. Maybe she's glad to talk about it. But you don't know. You never ask. Why ask? It's not important. What happened after gestation? What happened in year two, year three, year four? You didn't get your favorite gift when you were 6. This is the way you think. It's the way your shrinks think. Your psychologists think this way. Don't do that. Go back to that birth canal. Of course, the infamous, go to picture number 17. Shoulders stuck behind the pelvic bone. In the old days, you'd pull and you tear those nerves, and that was a breech birth, and the child would have torn nerve plexuses. Look at picture 23. Doesn't that picture say it all? What's that? Picture 23. How did they get that picture? God, the technology is fascinating. That is an embryo. That is an in utero photo of a baby with the cord around its neck. That's the birth cord around the neck. That can mean an emergency cesarean. That can mean you have to turn it in utero. That can mean you have to turn it and take that cord off when the child's born. It all depends on how it gestates. But that is a stress to the child. Fascinating stuff, huh? Look at picture 25. You call it a nuchal cord. So on the left is a normal gestation, and on the right, the cord's around the kid's neck. You just saw that. It's called nuchal. Picture 26. What do you do when the cord's around the neck? This is from an instructional video for OBGs or midwives or whoever. Here's another one. You don't dilate, right? That's a common one. The cervix does not dilate during birth. Mom just couldn't relax enough to dilate. Picture 21. Look at picture 21. That's that baby's head, and there's no dilation. So that baby's trying to come out. The cord is in the perfect place. The baby's positioned beautifully. Everything's good. It's month 9. The kid wants out. Or maybe the kid doesn't want out. Any of you in the audience that didn't want to come out? You talk to people, they'll remember their feelings in utero. They'll say, I didn't want to be here. Often you get people with terminal disease that'll tell you, I didn't want to be here from the beginning. I would have stayed inside and never come out or died right at birth. I wanted to go to the other realm then. This has been a labor for me. It's odd. It's strange. It's also beautiful. You talk to a lot of kids that are leaving this plane to the next one. They're ready to go. To us, it's a tragedy. And yes, it is. That's the normal human reaction to a 13-year-old with terminal leukemia or some life-threatening disease that's going to take them. But they'll talk to you about being okay with it. If you go into gestation, and you could go in there and say, hello, little kid, what's going on? They'll tell you. They'll tell you as adults. If you talked to me then, I would have told you, I don't really think I want to be here. I'm done. I'm being asked to do something. Now, this isn't a reason to check out. They're supposed to come here. They're supposed to do what they have to do. And sometimes that's why that cervix isn't dilating. It's not always the mom. It's the baby, too. The mom and the baby are incommunicado. How much deeper is any bond? So sometimes the cervix doesn't dilate. Sometimes the kid wants to come out. It wants to come out. It's a kid. It's ready to meet the world. But the mother doesn't dilate. That dilation means a 36, 40-hour labor. Today we go cesarean. Back then, you just told the woman to breathe and relax. So what should be a 20-minute birth could be 20 hours. It could be 30 hours. Then the kid starts to panic. That anxiety's in the child. Now it's birthed then to wonderfully loving parents who are glad that the birth was fine and the child's basically healthy, but the kid always has anxiety or depression or some variation of it. This stuff goes deeper than your rational mind. Your depression can go much deeper than analysis normally does. It can go much deeper than your rational mind. Why do I have depression? Why do I feel like this? That's where you got to go. Yes, we have solutions. First, we have to define the issue. Picture 22. Three signs you are headed down the road to a cesarean. Your provider and birthplace have high C-section rates. You bet. I don't want to get into this one. I've done a show on this before, way in the beginning. I bought Ellen Heed on, and we did a show on cesareans, episiotomies, not good things. I'll just say that. The rest you read about. Three signs. Don't be birthing with an OBG that loves to do cesareans. If his cesarean rate is 50, 60, 70, 80%, he's not sticking around. Okay? Look at number three. This is interesting. Your hospital limits movement in labor. I'm not even sure what that means, but I know it's sick. Whatever that is, that's sick. That's the way it's becoming. You can thank our president. That's the way it's becoming. The hospitals are so monetarily driven now that the most insane things in practice have seeped our way into the standard of care. So, yeah, we've got solutions for birth trauma. Honestly, I think we've got more of it than we ever did. Let's keep going. Let's go to picture 27. There's a cesarean. That's an intense, and sometimes you need it, right? It's a life-saving procedure. Episiotomies can be, in a sense, a life-saving procedure. It's a cost-benefit on behalf of the doctor, of the team. So again, nobody's knocking these things. The criticism of them is when they're done unwantedly. They're done without discretion. They're done because doctors are pressured, not because doctors even want to be pressured. Pressured for time, pressured for use of the room, all sorts of things factor in. But make no mistake about it. A cesarean is costly. It's costly to the child. It's costly to the mother. Look at this one, 28. Vaginal delivery versus a cesarean. So let's take it from the standpoint of the kit. Introduction to staphylococcus. You don't need an introduction to staphylococcus. Abnormal microbial introduction. Disrupted intestinal microbial colonization. Increased risk for atopic disease, asthma, allergic celiac disease. Delayed onset of lactation. There's all sorts of sequela to C-sex and not on the good side of it. Admittedly, right, if it's a life-saving procedure, then amen. But they're done too quickly. You talk to the midwives that are aware of this. I think in Asia now, Southeast Asia, like 100% of all births in the hospitals, some astronomical percentage. Thailand was singled out in one quote. Over 90% of all births in hospitals are automatically cesareans. I've heard people with eyewitness accounts, perhaps you have also, people in different countries, you know, those countries that still don't get a lot of cancer and heart disease and the chronic ailments. I've heard stories, personal accounts of women out in the fields, pregnant, pulling to the side, squatting down, popping out a kid, and being back to work in a couple of hours. I've heard those. You've heard those stories too. Reference those stories on Google. They're out there. Birth should be 20 minutes. Ought to be a half an hour. A 36-hour labor? Fascinating. Midwives, I'll bring one on the show fairly soon. Midwives, doulas, it's great stuff. Why? And what difference does it make? If Bernard Bale writes the mother's signature, if you, as you define you, started in gestation, isn't that an argument to birth with a midwife, a doula? All right. Cesarean versus vaginal birth. Let's go to picture 29. The scary truth about the rising trend of C-sex. Here's picture 30, water birth. I know about 10 kids that were water birthed. Amazing stuff. I have seen kids work through birth trauma, work through birth in ways that are so ahead of the curve. And this water birthing caps, it's one of those great, great tools that modern women are doing today. Modern women in the 50s were told don't breastfeed. Modern women in 2015, 2016 are told think about water birthing. There are good things happening. We are understanding how to deal with this stuff, that we even know that the child gestating will define its health, its pathology for the rest of its life. Even that's large. It is a beautiful world on so many levels, is it not? 32, look at picture 32. That's a forceps birth. I had a forceps birth. I have a forceps scar on my forehead. I am certain my head was too big for my mother's canal. Look at picture 33. Look at those forceps. They get clamped around the kid's head, and then we use suction to bring it out. That's picture number 34. Suction and the clamps, and we pull it out. That's traumatic. That's not like fixing a car. That's a kid's head. Better than the mother dies. So let's not forget now, in 1900, the two biggest causes of death were infant and maternal mortality. The kid died or the mother died. So these practices, forceps, so on and so forth, they were life-saving procedures. And so in that sense, you don't knock them. Not every mother could birth correctly. Not every mom was healthy. It's not anybody's fault. Not everyone had a great midwife or a great doula. So modern medicine took it on and brought down cesarean and brought down death at birth with cesareans, etc. It's just about discretion, right? Isn't that one of the themes in this show? Use discretion, and you can't use discretion if you don't have knowledge. So there's the span on it. There you are, depressed, anxiety-driven, your whole life. Maybe you're on meds, you have to medicate. Freud was saying, get on the couch. Reich was saying, let me touch you. Bell was saying, don't begin at birth, go into gestation. Freud, Reich, Bell. All the different things that can go wrong during birth. You should be as comfortable and happy as picture 20. Go to picture 20. Take a look at that little kid there. Doesn't that baby look happy? Doesn't it look happy? Don't mess with that kid. You're going to get a tusk through your skull. Do you love those hippo videos on YouTube? They kill more people than any animal in the jungle. More dangerous than lions and tigers. All right, let's keep going. Candace Pert, a name you really have to get to know. I've done one show mentioning her name. Candace Pert wrote the book, picture number 39. Candace Pert wrote Molecules of Emotion. She was interviewed by Bill Moyers. You can catch her stuff all over YouTube. Well known, died recently. I think she got into energetics, and I don't think she really understood energetics, not on the level she needed to. That happened to Reich, too. Reich died of a heart attack. Pert died of a heart attack. Massive heart attack she had. Molecules of Emotion, the science behind mind and body. Look at what she's saying, picture 41. Look at what she's saying. Dr. Candace Pert, picture 41. Most psychologists treat the mind as disembodied, a phenomenon with little or no connection to the physical body. Conversely, physicians treat the body with no regard to the mind or the emotions. But the body and mind are not separate, and we cannot treat one without the other. Okay, sounds cool. Let's get down to brass tacks. You walk into your medical doctor at Kaiser, and you have a brain tumor. He's not looking at your mind. Have you ever been told by somebody with an autoimmune disease, you there in the audience, with lupus, scleroderma, ankylosing spondylitis, psoriasis. Have you ever been told by your medical doctor? You know, when you were 2 years old and your parents split, you went sympathetic dominant. And from that point on, your neuroendocrine system couldn't really organize your immune system. You ever been told that? You ever heard of anybody with cancer being told that cancer started in utero? That 36-hour birth that deranged you and cast you into the world with anxiety, it shut your immune system down. In sympathetic dominance, Mr. Smith, your immune system's not going to eat a cancer cell. Your NK cells, your thymus went off at birth. Anybody ever heard a cancer patient told that? That's what Pert is saying. Candace Pert is saying that. Candace Pert is saying, as a neuroscientist, as somebody, I hope her work ultimately wins her the Nobel. I truly do. She made a massive contribution. Bale has made a massive contribution. Statistically, these are people in 20 years, no one will know they existed. Read their works. That's what Pert is saying. Pert is saying a lot more than that. Let's get to what Pert is saying. Let's go to picture 43. Picture 43. Pert coined the phrase molecules of emotion in response to her finding that 85 to 95% of the neuropeptide receptors, those are the opiate receptors, are found in the emotional centers of the limbic or mammalian brain. The limbic system encircles the top of the brainstem. It's the source of emotions and where trauma gets stuck. This thing about the limbic system, this thing about chemicals, molecules we make. Well, those molecules are endorphins. Go down to picture 46. Endorphins, enkephalins, dynorphins. Those molecules are made to compete with the depression and the anxiety. And you can think of life as effectively a relationship between endorphins and enkephalins, dynorphins, and our failure to produce them, which leaves us depressed and anxiety-ridden. Now, we understand it in terms of serotonin and dopamine and all these happy neurotransmitters we're supposed to make, and if we don't make them, then you take your Prozac or you take your benzodiazepines, your Klonopin or your Valium or your Xanax, so on and so forth. We understand that. We haven't invented a pill yet to make endorphins. Not endorphins. We've invented a pill to prolong your experience of serotonin and dopamine, so on and so forth, and we're medicating people. Pert is not talking about that. Pert is coming in and saying, you make things called neuropeptides, endogenous morphine, beta endorphins, dynorphins. This is what's competing with your birth trauma. Well, this is what's competing with the downside to life. This is what's competing with that dark and rainy day. Life, in a sense, is about how much endorphin can you bring to meet the tragedy of life. Health, another slant on health, is health of the things you do, cleansing, stretching, it all. Health is a thing that you do. It's the thing you cultivate. So you can build an endorphin reserve to meet the demands of the day. Now, Pert was the one that found heroin receptors in the human brain, opiate receptors. Pert was the one that discovered opiate receptors in the brain. That should have won her the Nobel Prize. There's a whole story behind how her mentor kind of ripped her off. I'm sure she needed a bunch of endorphins to get on the other side of that. Solomon Schneider was his name. And that's available in Molecules of Emotion. You should get that book. Pert was saying, now I'll infer a little, you have birth trauma, you build those endorphins. There's your solution. Pert understood it. Reich understood it. Eastern medicine understood this. Western medicine, most of Western holistic medicine, doesn't even think on these levels. You're my audience. You think on these levels. Look at picture 47. What's an endorphin? The word endorphin is an abbreviated version of endogenous morphine. Morphine is a type of opiate. Endogenous refers to something that originates inside an organism. When endorphins interact with opiate receptors, your sense of pain is reduced and a feeling of well-being is created. How much of that can you produce? That is the question. Because you're going to have to produce a massive amount of it to compensate you for gestational anxiety, gestational depression. When the imprint is that deep, which is what happens in gestation, you are obliged. It is your destiny, if you want the life you want, to work consistently with knowledge, with diligence, with patience, to the point where you can produce enough endogenous opiate to throw off the burden of your gestational trauma. Now, what does that mean physiologically? That's where you have to understand dural tissue, cerebrospinal fluid, the ventricular system of the brain, and the pineal gland. Because the transformation in a human body is about a physical phenomenon. Pert understood that. There's a quote here by Candace Pert, and she's making reference to spinal waving. Now, those of you who listen to the show, you're quite familiar with the importance of unwinding the dural tissue. Most of my audience, you can't attach to it because you don't really have relationship with it. You should, you must, regardless of your symptom, regardless of your disease, regardless of your depression and your anxiety, to bring yourself to the point where you're capable of unwinding the tensions in the dural tissue is everything. Picture 38. Take a look at picture 38. Network spinal analysis represents the epitome of body work in our time, the leading edge of mind-body-spirit integration. This work will transform the planet. Candace Pert, professor of research, Georgetown University. Now let's get down to Donnie Epstein now at the bottom of this picture. There's Donnie Epstein. You know, when I was graduating chiropractic school in the early 90s, Epstein had delivered cross-continent, one of the most dynamic angles in holistic medicine. Our chiropractic schools rewarded him by banning him from the chiropractic campuses. That was the reward he got. I remember going to one of his seminars back in the early 90s. I cried. I ran up and gave him a hug. I got so excited about the things I saw in the context of what I was learning as a young chiropractic student. And he was in his heyday. He was just expanding. His reward? He was banned from his own alma mater, New York State Chiropractic School. He was almost banned. We were told in our intern clinic, Cleveland Chiropractic College, if you get caught doing this, we'll throw you out of school. You'll never graduate. This is the reward the man got. Doesn't that sound like Reich? Doesn't that sound like Freud? Doesn't that sound like Tesla? Why is it that way? Look at him here. Go on that YouTube. Just take a look at it. We're on the YouTube. I turned it on. So you're at the bottom of the show there, and he's demonstrating. And let's get you into about 40 seconds in. 40 seconds, 40. Some of you remember this video. I've used it before. This guy is unwinding stress that goes about as deep into his body. It's where you meet your soul. This is incredibly, this is what Pert is referring to. Candace Pert is talking about the transformational quality of network chiropractic, of the wave, effectively. She's talking about the transformative quality of that wave. If you continue this, go to about 2 minutes and 47, go to 2 minutes and 50 seconds into that video. 2 minutes and 50 seconds go into that video. You watch this guy face up on the table, and he's going into involutions. He's going into waves. Now, you finish that video, finish that YouTube on your own. That's a spinal wave. That's what Pert is referring to. Now, go to the picture above it, to the trauma to the bear. And lots of you remember this one. Go to the YouTube video just above what you just saw, and go to, we'll fast forward, go to like 50 seconds in. Go to 50 seconds in, 5-0. He's looking at the bear's teeth and the paws. I'm going to fast forward because of time. Look at that bear shaking. A minute five, a minute six, the bear is shaking. That bear is in a spinal wave. That young man below Donnie Epstein's video is in a spinal wave. Both of those individuals, the polar bear and that man in the video below, are unwinding trauma that goes very deep into their tissue. That's an explosion of endorphins. Pert is saying to trauma, train yourself, partake in something that avails you to an explosion of endorphins, enkephalins, dynorphins, because it's the only way. It's your only way out. It really is. I had Dr. Bale come to one of my seminars years ago, my absolute privilege, and I was given one of the greatest compliments I've ever been given by anybody. He looked at what I was doing to somebody on a table in a seminar of about 40 people, and he said to me, he said, you know, we do the same thing. And I said, yeah, we do the same thing. And I said, someday we're going to know when to do what you do and when to do what I do. And I say that today, a good 10 years later. But that's what integration is. This show is about integration. This show is asking you to realize that you may not be spending your money, time, and energy in your healing journey as efficiently as you could if you understood the art of integration. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth, give my office a call, make an appointment, and get set straight. Start the journey. You can't do it efficaciously if you don't understand how to navigate. And this is what I think we're all coming to in holistic medicine. There is an art. Everybody's got a piece of it. The question is no longer, are the pieces valid? The question is now, can we put them together? We all understand what a flute is, and a drum, and a piano, and a guitar, and a violin, and a bass, and so on and so forth. The question is, how do you put those sounds together to hit crescendo? That's the cusp of holistic medicine. Okay, so there we have it. The whole span of why you have anxiety and depression, and it won't go away. Now let's get to picture 51. There's the dural tissue, picture 51. Picture 53. There's the dural tissue that your brain sits on, tentorium cerebelli. That's viewable in the top picture, picture 53. Look at picture 54, picture 54, that white stuff. That's dural tissue also. You have dural tissue between the hemispheres, around the brain. You have dural tissue around the spinal cord. You have dural tissue down to your sacrum. That dural tissue is holding your birth trauma. You've been cleansing. You've been stretching. You've been doing your homework. You feel worse than ever. You're so angry. You're having emotional outbursts. Such a terrible thing to be brought after all this good hard work to the point where you can't contain your rage anymore. You're angrier than ever. That's because your dural tissue's unwinding. Critical mass, the point you want to be brought to when the dural tissue begins to unwind so you can release, so you can begin to make the opiates that will transcend you to the higher plane, that will release you from the bondage of your neurotic, anxiety-ridden, depressive pattern, begin with sometimes abrupt explosions of emotion. And you have to be prepared for that, or you will run from it. And generally, if you're not supervised by anyone that understands that, you will certainly run from it and shut it down, but then you will spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. So when people are taking herbs for depression, everything from amino acids to kava kava to melatonin to all the flower essences, so on and so forth, great thing. But look at the world here you're dealing with. Look at the size of the world you're dealing with. I ask you to look at the size of things and just open your soul, because it knows everything, not your head. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Hope this show hit your soul. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.